Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your boy, Sir Wilkins of the Jabba Tears Podcast, and I hope all is well. I got one of my favorite guests back on the show for Coffee Talk with Friends. You know who she is. Jizzy, formerly known as the girl from the Deadass Girls Podcast.
And she's back. You already know, baby.
She just went dark. I don't know what happened. We're going to continue talking. And she's back. Oh, she's back. She went dark again. She's back.
My bad, yo.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Welcome back to another episode of Coffee Talk with Friends. I hope you're well, homie.
I am well. Thank you for having me back on the show. I'm not having coffee this time. I am having some water, though. Some good old H2O.
It's good for your soul. Good for your skin.
Good for your skin, your soul. It's good for your pussy juices to run clear, you know?
Yeah. You ever... Never mind, you married, so you really can't talk about that.
What do you mean?
Have you ever had, like, bad taste in cum?
Yes, that happens. And, you know, the thing is, like, ladies and gentlemen and gays and theys and everyone who's listening or watching this, your diet is important. But if you want to cheat the system, just do 2 days of good eating, 2 days before you do, and you should be fine. But also, you got to kind of consider, we are human beings. I don't think we're meant to be tasting, like, candy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think our physiology is supposed to taste like strawberries, all right?
Nah, it's fine. I remember once, and any lady that's the lady that's dealing with me right now, probably going to be, she doesn't watch it, so it doesn't matter. So, this one time, right?
Someone got a snitch, watch.
I was eating, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And the grape burst. And it tasted like coffee.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I've never had that happen before. I've heard of it. And it's possible that they may have been drinking way too much coffee. But it is also possible that they were probably about to start their period soon.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, if you know your body, you should. Every woman, every person should know their body, their scents, their smells. There are certain smells that you'll smell before, during, and after that kind of lets you know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, it's different for everyone. Like, I've heard, you know, like, people be like, oh, it smells like pennies. Like, you know, that copper smell. So, you know, your period is about to come.
I did that before once.
Yeah. Or, you know, some people be like, yo, it smells like Doritos. And it's like, all right, well, maybe you should lay off the fast food for a little bit. Maybe drink a little bit of water. Some people have said, like, oh, yeah, you know, like, it smells like... like sweat, which I'm like, yeah, you know, sweat is fine. It also depends on the fabric of your underwear, believe it or not. If you wear really cheap underwear, like really cheap fabric, whatever chemicals they used on that fabric, rubbing on your, because, you know, pH, it's acidic. So you mix in an acid with something that's probably alkaline or something that's more acid, you're going to get some weird little reactions down there. So, for anyone who cares about, you know, bodily health, definitely drink water. Definitely wash with soap and water. Not this whole, oh, I use Summer's Eve. Listen, none of that shit is supposed to go there. That shit is not good for you. It actually strips you from good natural oils, good natural, you know, things that you need to keep it running, you know. Your pussy needs a little bit of maintenance, and you know, and also, dudes, dick cheese is not cute. All right, no more smegma.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Speaking of smells, lately on these Twitter streets and the internet wrestling community, it's been smelling like straight beef between AEW and WWE fans, stands, and also AEW's owner, and also your boot cakes Roman Reigns actually said a couple of things during this beef type of thing going on. So,
you know that 50 Cent song, Popping Them Things? That's Roman.
Yeah. So, Miss Jizzy, what do you think about the beef that's going on currently between AEW and WWE?
I'm about to say something that maybe some people, if you're familiar with my former podcast life, something that might not sound like typical Jizzy shit. I think this is all fabricated. This has all been engineered by both brands. I feel like they both been meeting backstage, secret handshakes, secret pounds, whatever. And I feel like they just doing that just to create some kind of Friday Night War. Do I believe that there's actual beef? I think some stars who may not fuck with the other brand, they might have some, you know, like attitudes against it. But as far as like actual beef, no. I don't think it's something that it's just, you know what it is that it's just too convenient. Like they went so long without mentioning any other brand. And then all of a sudden, AEW pops up. All of a sudden, now they're okay with sending shots at each other. Like, I expect it from AEW because AEW is that bitter ex-girlfriend that hasn't let go yet. But WWE has been, like, they've been on their own lane for so long. And they've been like, oh, you got your little wrestling promotion? Okay, that's cute. Whatever, move along. But really, all of a sudden, now you want to be paying attention? Listen, plot twist, Vince McMahon actually secretly owns AEW. He probably bought that shit on the low-low, all right? I would not be surprised if on his deathbed, he'd be like, Stephanie, come closer. You are now the owner of AEW, and then just dies.
Yo, you just played out a whole Godfather scenario, like some real G shit right now. Like,
because, like, think about perfect example, Godfather. Think about it. Isn't it weird how Vince and the whole WWE has been on top for so long? You have this one little fucking schmuck who comes out of nowhere, who's trying to work their way up the ranks, who's trying to start pop off beef with the Colombo family and shit. And you telling me that WWE is actually paying attention to them?
But, okay, so I'll challenge you because the show is about opinions and challenges. Mm-hmm. Do you think in due time AEW is a legit competitor to WWE?
It's possible. The thing is, I don't want to say it's a competitor per se or that it'll become a competitor because those are two, I mean, yes, logistically speaking, yes. Two different wrestling companies, they are competing. But as far as owning the fans, owning the network, owning the square footage that they do over the wrestling fan base, it's going to take a lot for AEW to even be at that level. Do I think that they're capable? Sure. But at the same time, it's like they've been doing everything they said that they weren't going to do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they've been doing everything that they've been accusing WWE of doing. But it's like when you really sit down and look at it, I'm like, my dude, you've been doing this shit too. So what are you talking about?
What exactly are you talking about?
Well, I mean, I could go into it, but let's talk about, like, something more recent, you know, is their signings, right? It's weird because when they first came out, they were like, oh, we don't want to become, you know, like, the rejects or the sloppy seconds of WWE stars that are disgruntled. But then you turn around, and I'm like, okay, but how is it that anytime a WWE star leaves, a week or two later, these motherfuckers are showing up in your state? You know what I mean? Like, you said you weren't going to do that, and now you're doing that. You said you were going to be diverse, and y'all have not been fucking diverse. You say you're going to have a better women's division, and where are we? So I
that
mean,
is
they're entertaining, you know, it's cute. It's like a little, it's a little dumpster fire, you know, it's trash, but it still brings the heat.
You did say you watched the last 15 minutes the other day, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
What were your thoughts?
First of all, why did I do it? I'm still asking myself to this day why I did that. But it was like the camera angles were strange to me. It was the it was like a mixed tag match, I believe. Like I know Chris Jericho, Sam, that little twink, Sammy.
Call them a twink.
It was. Anyways, I know Paige Van Zandt was in the ring, fucking on FaceTime and shit. I'm like, what the fuck is this? What is happening here?
Mm-hmm.
I was just a little perplexed as to what the fuck was happening. I mean, I don't know. It could get better, but
it will. They're at this place where I think they're trying to find their identity, and a lot of people. It's like this. Either you fucks with them or you don't fuck with them at all. They have no real in between. And that's where it hurts them because they have no in between. And I enjoy what they have because I'm a huge wrestling fan. I like indie wrestling too. That's one of the things about AEW. It's a real independent feel. And they kind of like that. But one thing that they're missing is that they don't have enough story arcs. In their thing. Like they have their, you know, their heavyweight, something to go in there, maybe a women's title story arc, but nothing else. Like they don't, it's super like, you know how you, okay, I'll give you an example. You know how you watch Dragon Ball Z?
Mm-hmm.
And Goku's fighting Vegeta, for instance, and then they cut it off right where they're about to do some dope shit.
Yeah. And actually, like, that's a perfect example. That's a perfect example. The AEW is Dragon Ball. Why? Because Dragon Ball had a good story as Dragon Ball. Then you go to Dragon Ball Z, which obviously was good. But then you go to Dragon Ball GT, Dragon Ball Kai, Dragon Ball Super, all these other offshoots that are fucking trash. So then you find yourself as, okay, I'm a Dragon Ball fan. But there are trash Dragon Ball iterations. That's the thing about AEW. It's like, at first, in its inception, you're like, oh, I'm a wrestling fan. I'm a fan of these people. So I'm going to like this. And then as you start seeing all the new stuff that they implement, then you start saying, wait, hold up. AEW kind of low-key ass a little bit because of the stuff that they've implemented. I'm not going to discount them. I personally just, I wasn't really that big of an indie fan. I mean, there are some indie people that I totally love watching and enjoying because they do kind of put extra passion into their art. But to me, like you said, like it does have that indie feel. It just feels like an indie production that has too much money and not, and it doesn't know what to do with it.
It's independent wrestling on steroids.
Yeah. It's like someone was like, yo, I'm going to give you $100 million, do whatever you want. And then that's what they came up with. And it's like, no, this needs work, my guy. And you know what it is that they stand in their own way. Because like you said, there's no middle ground. Like something I will say WWE has is that you have that middle ground fan base who they may not fuck with everything of the show. But there's elements of the show that keeps them tuning in. Like, listen, they may not watch it every Monday and Friday, but they're watching every single pay-per-view.
And they're watching clips on YouTube.
Right. Like, they may not fuck with Raw, but they fuck with SmackDown. They may not fuck with SmackDown, but they fuck with NXT. Like, you can actually pick and choose parts, and you could be, like, the middle ground. AEW, it's like you either you fuck with it heavy, heavy, or that shit is a two-pack of ass, and I'm in the latter.
I fucks with it heavy, heavy. It's one of those things. It's one because, like I said, I enjoy independent wrestling. And obviously, during the podcast, I've gotten deeper into independent wrestling. I've been following for the past, like, 4 years, really understanding it and, you know, being part of it and sponsoring shows and everything, so I still have a better feel of it. It's like, so an example would be is I started watching silent movies. Mm-hmm. And then now that I see a silent movie in the movie theater, I can enjoy it. But somebody who doesn't usually watch silent movies and they go to the movie theater to watch a silent movie, they're like, yo, what is this?
Like, yo, what the fuck is this?
Like, what the fuck am I doing myself with this?
Fucking Charlie Chaplin head ass.
Yeah. So moving on, continuing with the beef, just recently, AJ of Hit Row was beefing with the Young Bucks over sneakers.
Hit Row. Am I the only one who be saying that randomly in the house? Because I know a lot of people do that.
You know what? And I said on my podcast, I wasn't fucking with Hit Row in the beginning.
Okay.
I was not fucking. I was like, yo.
I get it. I get why, though.
Because the thing is, I'm corny.
So they got too much swag?
So when I see, no. When I see corny that's trying to be swaggy, I'm just like, this ain't working. Because I can read through it. You guys ain't thugs. You guys are nice guys.
You know what? At first, I wasn't fucking with them because I was like, yo, please don't tell me this is another stereotypical crime time bullshit because this is 2021. We don't need this. But as they started, you know, doing the little promo, they started growing on me. Like, it just kind of became like a stable that I'm like, oh, I don't even think they're a stable. I think they just actually chill with each other. Like, I think this is just them fucking around.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's cool. I mean, it is type corny at times, I will admit. I'd be like, all right, fucking relax. All right, I don't really think someone speaks like that naturally, but I could be wrong. Maybe that's who they are. This whole sneaker beef. All right. Here's where I stand on it. It was so fucking corny and unnecessary. Right?
Really?
Yes, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because one, who the fuck cares? Like, who stepped up to... No, I want to know who stepped up to him. Like, yo, you heard these motherfuckers are wearing fucking Jordans and you blah, blah. Like, who actually stood there and said, yo, we need a sneaker beef in these streets? Like, who actually... I don't... Like, he reminds me of them Harlem dudes who, like, you could all be in a group hanging out together and then all of a sudden be like, I'm from Harlem. And it's like, okay, nobody fucking asked you. Like, what is this? So I thought that Hit Row thing was kind of stupid, but the Young Bucks, they could have just sat there and ate their fucking food and paid no mind to them. Like, it started a whole thing out of nothing.
So when the thing went down, I was just like, okay. I saw AJ post it.
Yeah.
And then MVP commented. Mm-hmm. Then Swole commented because I feel like there's a small universe within wrestling of black wrestlers who all know each other.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter what brand you are, it feels like they all
fuck with each other.
Yeah, they all fuck with each other. And even if they don't fuck with each other, they know of each other like really well.
Yep.
So I saw that. I was like, oh, this is funny. This is cool. And I knew I kind of had a figure they were talking about Young Bucks. So when I saw Young Bucks comment, I was just like, all right, one comment is fine. Because they changed their bio. Then it was two. Then it was three. Then AJ did a diss track. And I was just like, all right, this is a lot. But I fucked with the diss track. And then Max Caster came in there. And was just like, yo, my toy just dropped. Max Caster was just like, yo, he started talking. Now, on the surface, I love the beef because it adds more stuff for me as a podcaster to talk about with you.
It's content.
It's content. It's great content and stuff of that nature. My only issue is that none of these motherfuckers really started this shit. It was Shane O'Mac. Hey, I need to put some respect on Shane O'Mac's name.
There we go.
Because Shane was one of the first people to be out here in these wrestling streets
with
Jordan 1s on, Jordan 3s, Jordan 31s. If you wear Jordan numbers past like 20, you really like sneakers. You really like Jordan.
Yeah, no, you really be fucking with the sneaker game heavy. And he also did that sneaker shopping with on Complex. Like, he's really about it. So, like, yeah, his name, Top Dollar, there you go. Like, when he, you know, he's throwing little jabs online and shit. And he dropped that little freestyle or whatever. I think it was called A Hit Dog Will Holla, I think it's called.
I think, like, so. And he used the, I forgot which rap song beat he used, but it was a pretty good rap song.
Yeah, like, it was, you know, it was cute. You know, he got a little time. He knows how to use Audacity. It's cute. But my thing is, right, if you don't want to get dragged, if you know you're getting dragged, right, without being mentioned, without being tagged, sit down and shut up. You don't have to fuel it. You don't got to comment. You don't got to do none of that. Just sit there and take your fucking L, and that's it. Because I promise you, no Young Bucks fan was sitting there talking, thinking, oh, yo, man, I wonder what the Young Bucks sneakers are like. Like, I wonder what they're... No one is sitting there thinking that. I don't know if maybe, you know, the Young Bucks beat him on the sneakers app. Is that why he's tight? Was he trying to cop some Fear of Gods and they got it before he did? Like, did they resell him a sneaker for like $1,000? Like, something had to happen for him to say that. I mean, it's funny. It's just that I'm like, sit down. Like, what? No one even, first of all, I never even checked his own sneaker game. Like, that's how I know
it's okay. It's okay. So my only issues with the Young Bucks is that they wore fake Jordan 1 Diors.
Oh, yeah. They...
So
I remember that.
Because I didn't know they were fake.
Wasn't it the same week that Kamala Harris's nephew wore them, the real ones?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, I think it was the same week of the inauguration or the same month, something like that.
It was something of that nature. So what happened was they wore them, and then they wore them in, like, their first – it was, like, one of their first couple matches when they, like, turned heel. And their whole thing was that they creased them. They were creasing them. Because the sneakers are, like, 2 racks plus. Like, I think right now they're, like, 10 racks.
Yeah.
So every sneaker person – And I'm like a mini sneakerhead. They saw that, they're like, yo, what the fuck? You creasing a pair of Dior's and you're in a match with them? Then, like, some mega OG sneakerhead person caught them, was like, yo, these are fake. Yep. These aren't real.
Yeah, because didn't they end up coming out later saying that they were fake or whatever?
I think so. I don't know if they ever admitted to it. And then they were just like, and after that, I lost all respect for their sneaker game.
I didn't know that people were actually paying attention, to be honest.
Nah, because they were showing them off. That was it.
Okay. You kind of fuck yourself when you start talking shit. You should have just sat there and not said anything.
In the picture that I think is Matt. I mixed them both up. They're like the Usos to me. I mixed them up. But I'm assuming it was Matt. Matt was like in kneeling and he was creasing them. And then Nick, he was kicking the air. You can see the bottom of the sneaker with like Dior on it. And he was doing that on purpose. So then sneaker OG was like, nah, these are fake. So once you do that, I can't respect your sneaker game anymore.
It's suspect now. Like, how long ago did that shit happen that AJ felt like, did he have a tremble in the night? Was it keeping him up?
He was just trying to get attention. Let's just keep it a buck. He felt like stirring some stuff up, because this is the one thing I'm learning about social media and like celebrities or people on like who have bigger followings. They want that interaction. Because more interaction means more money, means that the bosses or whatever company they work for is going to pay attention to that. Because, so how do I stir things up? I go up against my company's enemy, quote unquote. I talk shit about their biggest star, quote unquote. And I get a bunch of interactions, a bunch of likes, a bunch of retweets, a bunch of retweet quotes. Mm-hmm. But also, and I'm gonna tell you this right now, that freestyle, he had that shit in the tuck. That shit was a fucking rollout. And you can't tell me anything different that it wasn't a rollout, because he was like, yo, damn, I got this ill-ass freestyle, but how I'm gonna put it out? I can't just put out a freestyle without a reason to, because this is a diss towards them.
All right, let me ask you, though. What was a better track, that or The Rock?
You know what I'm saying. You know I'm obsessed with The Rock. So anything The Rock does is fire. Are we getting quiet now?
Goodbye, people. Thank you for having me on Coffee Talk.
What? My man said I got the black and Samoan blood running through my veins. Enough said.
That's the only fucking time that man fucking acknowledged that he was half black. He really, yo, hold on. I could write a whole dissertation paper on this fucking song. He, for his whole fucking life, has been talking about how his mixed identity is a problem. It's an issue for him because he's never felt connected to blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, he want to drop a diss track, a little track, right? He want to drop some bars. He's like, yo, I need the blacks to listen to this shit, right? I need my homies to pull up to this. All of a sudden, he's black as Samoan, man. Fuck Rock. Fuck.
Wait, hold on. You will not come on this show and disrespect The Rock. So, hold on.
I did. Wait. I'm here and I'm disrespecting him right now.
Wait, Miss Jizzy, because I will give you the critical breakdown of the situation of The Rock's identity issues. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this, please turn up the volume, get closer to the screen, because I will break down the issues that The Rock is having. So, and she's laughing. The disrespect. The problem is, at a very young age, The Rock had issues with his father.
Sir,
wait. I am not done, Miss Jizzy, because you will not come on this show and disrespect the people's champ. My uncle, The Rock, because in my head, he's my uncle.
Listen, I think The Rock is someone who has way too much money and not enough fucking too much time on his hands for someone who has all. He doesn't need to do this. Why
doesn't he need to do this?
His favorite rapper is Tech Nine. No. First of all, Tech Nine is washed. I don't care what nobody says.
And you disrespected Tech Nine. You just want to talk shit today.
I bring the dead ass energy, even though I don't got the podcast no more. Which, you know, by the way, like, I miss it. I'm not gonna lie, I do miss podcasts.
You're gonna miss it because it's therapy. Maybe we should do this every month. Me and you talk shit for every month. Whatever.
Yeah, there we go.
I said, you're not disrespecting Tech N9ne, but the most important thing, you're not going to disrespect The Rock because him and his dad had issues as a very young child. So at that young child, he couldn't get connected to his black side. This happens. I'm going to give you an example. Back in my day, I was dating this girl that was part Japanese and part black, right?
You told me this story.
Yes, and this is a perfect example of why it connects with The Rock. Well, for people who haven't heard this story, what I said 100 times, she never connected with her black side because she wasn't close to her dad. Her mom raised her, just like The Rock. The Rock's mama raised him and brought him to that Samoan side where they eat beef and mayonnaise together.
Well, can I interject for a bit? Because
yes, please.
This issue is more nuanced than that, right? While I understand the issues that he had, you know, with his father and how that kind of alienated him from his identity, I also think that it's on the mom and her family. It's on them to acknowledge the fact that I have a mixed race child. You know what I mean? And this goes to anyone out there who's listening, watching, etc. If you're in an interracial relationship, mixed race relationship, whatever you want to call it, and you know that your kid is spending more time with one side of the culture and not the other, it's up to you as the parent or guardian to expose them to that other side. You know why? So that way we don't have to grow up in 2095 with another fucking Rock dropping whack ass bars.
Okay. He was not dropping whack ass bars. Stop saying this. Because you didn't have to go there, Jizzy. You didn't have to go there because his bars weren't whack. They were top tier fire. They were top
tier. Anyway, follow me on Twitter at DeadassJizzy if you agree with me. Thank you.
But the critical breakdown is from a 1 to 5, what do you give that track?
Oh, you're talking about AJ's track?
No.
Well, what was the question?
The Rock track on Tech N9ne. What do you give that track? Face Off.
Oh, out of 1 to 5?
Yes.
Can I give it a negative integer?
Excuse me?
You know what? I'm going to give it a 2. The beat was okay. And, you know, he tried to rhyme some complex compounded words. You know, he went to English 101. I'll give him a little credit for that. You know, a little son. He did something. It's a 2. It's like a 1.99. So it's like a close 2.
Well, my breakdown of that is a 4. But we'll continue reviewing more stuff. One out of five because I like the other guys on the track.
Okay.
The Rock had the best verse.
Fair enough.
Yes, The Rock is the best at everything he does. Did you see the Black Adam trailer?
Yes, I did see the Black Adam trailer.
What were your thoughts on that?
So as like an avid comic fan, I'm just confused as to what direction they're going because he looks nothing like Black Adam. Like, physique-wise, sure. But, like, you know, from the neck up, I thought that they would try to kind of match him to look like the comics. Also, I guess I'm just a little confused because they definitely did change the origin. And, again, this was a very small snippet, so I'm pretty sure when we watch the Shazam movie, we'll get more. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about Black Adam because it looks like they changed a lot from the comic book origin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid that because of who he is, I feel like he had too much say in it. And I feel like this is about to become another mid-ass Rock movie.
This whole entire time we've been talking, you've been disrespecting my man. But I will say my opinion on it. I do think you're right. I do think he took over that movie. So this is the reason why I think he took over. Mm-hmm. There was a rumor going around that he low-key didn't want to do the movie unless it was a DCU type of movie. Meaning that he wanted to do the movie with Superman, Batman of that, like the JLA type of thing. He wanted to be like an Avengers type of thing. Like his whole thing was this going to lead to like him being in a JLA type of movie? But obviously, you see the DCU didn't work out and they're doing like all independent movie type of things. Unless it does work out later on. I don't know.
But you know what it is too, is that what's very irresponsible of that, if that rumor is true, is that tells me that he doesn't know his source material. Because Black Adam is primarily a Shazam villain. I'm not mm-hmm. saying he doesn't have, like, he's had interactions with the Justice League, but those are on some offshoots. If we're talking about the actual, like, comic series and just the character itself, he barely ever interacts with the Justice League. I mean, only in, like, he was part of the Injustice League and the Legion of Doom, fine. But primarily, you know, it's only in the newer iterations, like DC Rebirth.
Is it DC 52 or Rebirth?
My bad. There's, like, a fucking Ghost Rider outside. DC Rebirth, which is, like, from 2016. Yeah, like, 2016 to 22, like, to now, like, the new stuff.
Oh, so this is after DC, the new 52.
This is after New 52.
Okay, because I haven't read after New 52, so that's that. Thank you for that.
Yeah, so like and again, he has more stories with the other offshoots. Like, he has more stories with the Watchmen, with Hawk Girl, like, you know, those characters. So I don't know what the fuck he thought he could do. I don't know if he thought he could rewrite everything. Like, yo, all right, boom, I'm Aquaman and I'm Batman together. What's up? And it's like, that's not how it works, sir. Like, you cannot just come here and fucking bulldoze your way into what you want.
So, but because the reason why I think he took over was because the reason why I say this is because in the little clippet that they said that they put out, he had said this became a passion project for him. So I was like, yeah, you probably had mad say to this, and you do the $7 production on this.
Yeah. So
because you low key do have mad pull in Hollywood.
Right. Like, I'm looking forward to it. Again, it's not to say that he doesn't interact with the Justice League. He does eventually when Shazam, you know, Billy Batson becomes a part of Justice League. But I'm just saying that he's not that much of a... It's not like he's the Joker, you know what I mean?
I think you're 100% right. And I, from what I remember reading, he really wasn't. And I didn't see him in the New 52 stuff. So I'm going to take your word for it. It's just that I just feel like him being, because I love him, don't get me wrong, but I'm always honest about him. Because he did the same thing with Fast and the Furious. Homeboy came in and looked at Vin Diesel and said, I'm doing a spinoff. Shut up. And you know did a whole ass spinoff.
It's ego. It's ego and the fact that no one's afraid to say no. Like, I'm going to say this, as much as I clown him and as much as I dunk on him, I think he is an extremely hardworking man. I think his work ethic is like unmatched. All right, thank you. You know, the Hispanicness came out. You know, I think the fact that he's been able to blow up from becoming a wrestler to a movie star, fucking Hollywood magnate, like, I do legitimately love his story and his journey, and I think it's great, especially, you know, a person of color, you know, to see him rise to that, even though, you know,
his identity. I mean, you got you, but I'm going to cut you off, but you got to give his Hispanic wife credit for that. No, his Hispanic ex-wife.
Yeah, yeah. Danny Garcia, she's representing the biggest fucking names in Hollywood right now, including The Rock. So, you know, like, I think that whole journey in itself is amazing, and I applaud it, and I think it's great. At the same time, I'm not about to sit here and lie and be like, yo, he's the greatest fucking actor, when he's not. He's not.
He's a good actor. Not.
And, whatever. Also, no, it's the ego that I have a problem with. Like, I know that anybody, in my opinion, anyone who makes their career out of being the nicest person around or the nicest guy in the room is fucking evil, okay?
So I don't think so.
I know for a fact that The Rock is a bit of a fucking asshole. So? I know that The Rock is a bit of a problematic person. And I feel like he uses his size and his, you know, he uses that physical prowess that he has to kind of intimidate and bully people. Also because he uses people in his inner circle who kind of let him have his way. Because had he had a real ass person in his fucking inner circle, they would have been like, bro, please do not release this trash ass song.
Like, no, the song wasn't trash, so it was fine.
Had he had real friends in his inner circle, they would have been like, bro, do not make this whack-ass fucking Tooth Fairy movie. Like, had he had
somebody
actually looking out for him, he would not be so fucking mid.
He is not mid, he is great.
Anyways, what's the next topic, y'all? Oh, first of all, what the fuck they doing with my homegirl Naomi?
What's the issue? Talk about it.
Yo, I don't know what's been going on. I don't know if my third eye is way too open for wrestling. I don't know if I've been, you know, going way too deep into the socialism, Marxism, intersectionality of racism shit. But let me just say right now that Sonya Deville, drop your fucking address right now, bitch. because I'm taking it personal. I'm taking it personal as to how you're treating Bianca and Naomi versus how you let fucking dog face ass Charlotte talk to you any fucking way.
You mean Cher? She looks like Cher now.
Yeah, she does.
I strangely find her attractive.
Who, Sonya Deville?
No, Sonya Deville's hot, but I'm talking about Charlotte.
Okay.
Wow, first time you got quiet on this episode.
She looks like an uppercase letter P. She looked like a big ass Pez dispenser. You know what it is? When she first started NXT, I thought she was a baddie. I thought she was very pretty, athletically was amazing, this and that. I don't know. Ever since she started doing the face shit and the booby shit, it's just not. It's not hitting, sis. It's not hitting. Like she's really. She's definitely taken up after her dad. Also, the fashion game is hit or miss for me.
Nah, I think she's hitting it, B. I think she's hitting it.
She's hitting it more because I feel like Andrade be dressing her. Because before Andrade, she was not.
No, you don't think. Andrade is definitely dressing her. Andrade started piping, and then it was this is how I think it went down. It was after a show, you know, he piped whatever, and they woke up the next morning, and she was getting dressed, and she put some whack outfit on for the next show. And Andrade looked at her like, yo, mommy, we don't do this here. We need to go shopping. We're going to use your credit card, or we're going to go shopping. Because you need to look better if you want to hang out with me.
Like, Charlie, baby, you wearing Luke's, I wear Timberland. You know what I mean? Like, baby, you out here in the we call it Luke's, who's been wearing Luke's, baby? Mommy, you need to buy the teams. Exactly. You do not lace them up, mommy.
And then he hit her with the, yo, if we go back to Mexico, I can't look stupid. You're going to make me look stupid dressed like this. Because you know I'm a legend.
Right.
And he did like this, too. He put his hand out like this. He put his head in the air. Right. Because you know I'm a legend. And then he looked at her.
That's exactly how it went down. Don't quote me.
Yeah. He told her, like, nah, we can't do this. And then he was continuously dressing her for the rest of the time. And he still dresses her. Like, exactly. She'll send her, like, and he puts on her clothes for her, like she's a 5-year-old kid going to middle school. Like he puts the heels with the outfit.
You imagine?
He's like,
right.
We're not doing this.
Yes, like, amo, baby.
Muy caliente. This one right here. Muy caliente.
Oh God. Anyway, so when you gonna debut? When's your fucking wrestling debut?
I got a couple of things lined up. I can't talk too much about it because, you know, sometimes card is subject to change.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the greatest yet in the ring, so I don't want to debut and it'd be trash. But
yo, let me know so I can boo you.
Yeah, that's fine because my coach is Amazing Red, and he was like, he's like, yo, there's something about you. It's so easy to hate.
Mm.
And I was just like, damn, B. Thanks. Mm-hmm. We're running out of time right now, plus I gotta go to bed and shit.
With the baby bye.
But this was another great episode with Jizzy, formerly known as Jizzy of the Deadass Girls Podcast. Drop your socials and everything so people who are listening can hear this.
Yes. And find you. Go ahead and because it's about to be boosted the fuck up on my Twitter, which is @DeadassJizzy. I don't really give up my personal Instagram, but I do have an art Instagram. So if you want to follow that, it's @Jizzy_doodles.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this was another great episode of Coffee Talk with Friends and with our special guest, Jizzy, formerly known as Jizzy from the Deadass Girls podcast.
Here.